Thank you. If you have your Bible, will you turn with me to the book of Colossians? We're studying through the book of Colossians now. We are in the last chapter, the fourth chapter. We've done the first verse. Now we're in the second verse and following. Colossians, the fourth chapter, beginning in verse 2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me again as we pray. God, I pray that you would take your word and you would challenge us. I pray for Christians in this room, Father, that we would understand our responsibilities to you and how to carry them out. Father, I pray for those that do not know you, that they would come to know you today. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Many years ago, as a younger pastor at Northside Baptist Church, I began to sense that I didn't feel that great. In fact, I didn't feel that great for about a year. Went through a bunch of tests, and ultimately they came up with this idea that I had a gallbladder issue. Now, some of you have had that joy, and you know what it is to have a gallbladder issue, but I had to have surgery. Many of you have had surgery, but I didn't have surgery like they do surgery today. You see, today they poke a few holes in you, and they get that thing out, and it's no muss, no fuss. You're done. You go home. It's a little uncomfort, but you're good. My younger brother had gallbladder surgery, went home right after it, ate that night, did great. I had a different experience. You see, when I went to have my gallbladder taken out, they didn't give me an option of poking three little holes in you and taking it out and everything being fine. Oh, no. When I had the surgery, they started at my navel. They cut around my rib cage all the way to my back. I had the surgery when doctors were real doctors and made real cuts, okay? And you know, I have some classes that this is what they talk about all the time, and I didn't get to share this morning, so I just want you to know if you're in that class. But it's really not about the surgery at all. It's about this. A couple of weeks after I got, oh, by the way, I did preach the next Sunday. You know, I didn't wimp out. We had a high attendance, people taking wages over whether I'd survive through the entire service or not. It was crazy. I should not have done that. But anyway, a couple of weeks later, I talked to somebody that had gallbladder surgery. They had it in Atlanta. They had it, went home that day. You can't go home that day. I couldn't even walk the next day. Oh, no, no. They poke three little holes and you take it out. It's done. You're good. Wait a minute. You're telling me that had I driven to Atlanta, I would not have had to been cut half in two? And you didn't tell me till now? Can I tell you, I was a little concerned that my medical team did not inform me that I could have taken a little drive and had a much less procedure? I've run into this same thing with other people. I have some friends that had cancer, and they struggled through some cancer treatments here, only to find that there was another treatment in another city in another place that was much lighter and cured it completely. What if you had a disease, or your family member had a disease? What if your family member had a disease, they died from that disease, and you found out all alone that the medical people had a cure for that disease, but they didn't share it with you? I believe it would be criminal, unthinkable. And I say that for you who are Christians. If you've got Jesus in your heart, you know you're going to heaven when you die. You know that your sins are forgiven. You know that you are saved and you will be delivered one day, and what a blessing it will be. You know that you're going to see your loved ones that died knowing Jesus. All of that is yours. If you don't tell people, how criminal are you? The Bible tells us of leprosy was the big disease of their day. And these lepers were not very welcomed anywhere. But in their city, it was a tough time. They made their living by begging. The only way they ate is if somebody had some scraps to throw at them, and that's how they ate. But they weren't getting many scraps. You see, their city was under siege. The city had been cut off from food completely. The people inside the city was starving. So how much could the lepers get? So the three of them came together and they decided, let's go to the enemy. Let's just go to the enemy. What's the worst they're going to do to us? They may give us some food, but if not, they'll just kill us and we're going to die here anyway. So the three of them set out to the enemy camp. They were surprised when they got to the enemy camp. Nobody had killed them. They didn't run into a single guard. They didn't have anybody stop them along the way. They got to the enemy camp. They didn't see anybody. They just saw the tent set up. So one thought, and they thought, well, let's just go in a tent. They go in the tent. Nobody's in the tent. But there was food prepared. They realized nobody was in the camp at all. Now, what they did not know is God had scared the entire enemy away, and they had ran for their lives in fear of God. But the lepers just thought, food. And they ate, and they ate, and they ate till they were full. And one of them looked up from eating and said, wait a minute. We do not well to hold our peace when there is news of hope and we're not going to share it. So knowing that, these lepers get up from their feast, they go back to the city, and they reveal the hope that is there. And the city was saved, and they were delivered because these lepers shared the news. How long would it have taken the city to venture out? How long would it have taken them to find out their enemy wasn't there any longer? I don't know. But the word of hope that came from these lepers made a difference. It is just not good to have good news and not share it. One of the things I hear from people a lot is, well, Brother Jerry, you know, I would invite people to Sunday school and church, but everybody I know is a Christian. Everybody has their church. Well, that kind of makes sense to me. If you're a church goer, you know Jesus as your Savior, your closest friends should be saved. You should know that they have a church home and they're going to heaven when they die. But I'm here to tell you, you know other people. Do you realize that right now in this hour when we are worshiping, that very few people are joining us in worship around the city? We have well above 200,000 people in our city limits. Less than 40,000 people are in worship anywhere with all the churches combined, adding Saturday and Sunday together. We're in a city of people that do not know our Jesus. And you can magnify that because we are certainly in a country that does not know our Jesus. And we are in a world that does not know our Jesus. This land was formed as a Christian land, but let me tell you, it is not Christian anymore. We need to change that. We need to understand that there are people around us, people we see every day, that do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and they don't know the way, and we are there to share with them what the way is. Now, Jesus separated himself from sinners, yes. But at the same time, Jesus was known as a friend to sinners. He didn't have the lifestyle of the ungodly, but he did confront the ungodly. Hey, this is Jesus. Everybody next to him was ungodly. We should be separate in that we don't participate in the sinful activity of those that don't know Jesus. But you know, we are in the world, we are not of the world. We have to identify at some point in time with those that do not know Jesus in our day-to-day walk. And when we identify with them, we need to identify with them in such a way that we can pull them back to the Lord. We're to be insulated, if you will, from sin, not isolated from sinners. John 17 says, we're in the world, but not of the world. He sent us into the world. We're not to be like them in sin, but we are to be change agents. A few years ago, we had a storm, and I saw a power line come down. And you know, you're not supposed to go around a power line. I saw why. That it sparked, it flew around. That it was just like a snake waving around every time it hit the ground. Intact, people could hold on to that wire because of the insulation. Oh, but bare, it was deadly. We have the power of Christ in us to get the gospel to those that do not have him. And we are to be insulated from the sinful patterns of their lives. But if we come into contact with that sin, when we come into contact with that sin, it kills our testimony. It kills our witness. It makes it so that we're not effective in sharing the gospel that Jesus gave us to share. If you're a Christian, understand plain and simple, you are to be a witness. Jesus commands you to be a witness. I know you think it's my job. Let me tell you, it is. But it's your job too. It is our task together to win the lost. Verse 5 says, notice the phrase here, them that are without. There are those on the outside. They're not on the inside. They're on the outside. This is a New Testament way of talking about people that aren't going to heaven. This is a New Testament way of talking about people that are in their sins. This is a New Testament way of talking about people that have never invited Jesus to be their Savior. They're on the outside. 1 Corinthians 5:12. For what have I to do with judging them that are without? Do you not judge those that are within? Those on the outside, God judges. God's identifying two types of people. They are the insiders and the outsiders. Which are you? There are those inside the family of God. There are those outside the family of God. And let me be clear, we are not all in the family of God. Only those that have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior are in the family of God. Believers, our job is given to us in verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward those that are outside, redeeming the time. We are to go where lost people go, as far as we're to be around them in our day-to-day walk, and we're to bring them in. Now, this doesn't mean we're to rope and tie them and drag them, although we might need to do that to some Christians I know. It does mean that we are to be a witness to them and give them every opportunity to respond to Jesus. We're to let them know where we stand and that we want them to stand with us. Now, these verses tell us how to have wisdom to witness. And if you want to have wisdom to witness, then be constant in prayer. Prayer is very important to everything you do as a Christian. Prayer is very important to your personal needs. Verse 2, continue in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Paul said, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. What's your heart's desire for America? What's your heart's desire for Columbus or Phoenix City or Hamilton or Catala? Shouldn't we have a heart that, what's your heart's desire for your school? Don't you understand that people around you that do not know Jesus, if they die without Jesus, they have hell to pay? And you're there with the news that would stop it? You may not realize this, but do you understand you might be the person in your family that God put in your family as a saved individual to win your family to Jesus? You might be the person in your school. You may not have a lot of Christian people in your school, but you might be the one. You might be the one that God placed there to bring your school to heaven. You might be the one where you work. I have people tell me sometimes where they work is a terrible place. It's a very ungodly place. Well, maybe you're the person there that God put there to change that. Be prayerful. There should be a heart concern in you that causes you to want to pray for other people. Make a list. You know, we're in that season where people like to think of somebody that makes a list and checks it twice, and you hope that you're not naughty or nice. I'm telling you to make a list of those people that don't know Jesus. Make a list of people you're concerned about. Listen, in school, make a list of the people you know that you don't know where they're going as far as their eternal home. Just make a list. Don't tell them you're making a list. Just make a list. Make a list of those people around you in work. Make a list of people in your family that don't know Jesus. Make a list. And then pray for that list. Pray for them every day. Pray for them that God would touch their heart. Pray that God would open their thinking and allow them to know the gospel. Pray for them to come to know Jesus. Pray for them. Pray for those at school. Pray for those at work. Pray for family members. Pray for casual meetings. You ever hear an ambulance go by? They're kind of loud. Often in our area, accompanied by a fire truck. Louder. You know, I grew up in a firefighter's home. Whenever I hear a siren, when I was with my dad and we heard a siren, we changed directions. We headed with the siren. But whenever I hear it today, God pricks my heart, and I pray for the people that are in the ambulance. I pray for the people that are on the truck. I pray for the people that are attending, and I pray for whoever they're going for or whoever they have. And listen, I pray that God would work in their lives, and I pray that they would know Jesus. Because, you know, they may die, they may not die, I don't know. They might get well, they may not get well, but I do know the greatest healing they need is to know Jesus Christ. And so when I hear the alarms, I pray. When I run into people and I don't know, have a chance meeting, I pray. You know, you may have to pray for people a long time. How long do you pray for them? How long are they breathing? How long do they breathe without Jesus? You pray for them till you know where they're going. Then you pray that they'll be good in following the Lord. Now, many of you have heard me talk about Henry Smith, and I'm going to talk about Henry Smith because he is an example of this particular situation. Henry Smith was a retired firefighter. He was a good guy. He really was. He was a good man. He was a hard man, but he was a good man. Henry married Gladys Folds. Now, Gladys Folds was a charter member of this church. That means she was here when this place started, 1944. She drew closer to the Lord, and she prayed for Henry. Now, 1944, I'm going to be very clear, I was not here. I wasn't on the planet yet. She was praying for Henry. She got preachers to pray for Henry. Knock them off. You know, just whatever preacher we had, they prayed for Henry. I'll go further. Every preacher that was here before me that I got to talk to, talked to Henry. Most of the deacons of our church talked to Henry. And you'd get the same thing. Henry would listen, very polite. He would talk to you. He would not receive Jesus. I mean, you know, you could say, well, aren't you being judgmental saying he's lost? No, he told me he was lost. But he would kindly listen. He would kindly listen because Miss Foles was in the back with a frying pan, so he would listen. Well, I got to Henry kind of late in life, and I was just a kid preacher. But I talked to Henry regularly, and when Henry had his 80th birthday, I talked to Henry, and I said, Henry, every preacher this church has had has prayed for you and talked to you. And I shared with him the gospel. I said, Henry, won't you ask Jesus to come into your heart? His 80th birthday, Henry says this, preacher, I'm not ready. Now, I know arguing with Henry would be harder than arguing with a signpost, so I didn't try to do that. But I had shared with him many times. I knew many other people had shared with him many times, and some of you in this room had. And so that day, I just felt led of the Lord to say, Henry, I'll make a deal with you. When you get ready, you know the gospel. You know how to come to Jesus. You've heard it as much as I've said it, and others have said it. But people are praying for you, and when you get ready, you call me and I will come wherever I am. I didn't think any more of it. Continued to pray for Henry. The church continued to pray for Henry. Months went by. Year went by. One day I got a call. It wasn't Henry, it was Gladys. I didn't know at first. I thought Henry may have passed. Gladys said this, Brother Jerry, I don't know what this means, but Henry said to tell you he's ready. I knew what that meant. I got to Henry kind of fast. I mean, he's now in his upper mid-80s now. You know, I didn't know how much time I had. I got to Henry kind of fast. And Henry said he was ready, and Henry prayed to receive Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Now, I'm going to tell you very quickly, that wasn't me. I didn't have anything to do with that. That was thousands of prayers being answered. That was God working from the people that were faithful to pray for Henry and not give up. I know mothers and fathers that have gone to their deaths praying for their children. And later, I've seen those children come to Jesus in answer to that prayer. And some of you are in this room. And don't worry. When people come to Jesus, they know it in heaven. So your loved one knew when their prayers were answered. We need to pray. He says, and we need to watch, be vigilant, be alert, keep your eyes open, stay awake. You know, church people, God's people, shouldn't act like a bird with their head in the sand. We should know what's going on in the world around us, and we should pray about it. We should be watching and praying. Listen, watch before you pray to see what you need to pray for. Then pray and stay alert while you pray. You ever have your mind wander when you pray? I have to confess, that happens to me. Sometimes I have to ask God to forgive me for my mind getting away from prayer, and I bring my mind back and I pray. Be alert when you pray. Pray for those around you that you know that need Jesus. He says, pray with thanksgiving. Listen, we ask God about a whole lot. It's time to start thanking God about a whole lot. That's one thing that I love about our Thanksgiving service. It's all about thanking God, and I hope you're here today when we do that. We need to go to the Lord and we need to thank him. And when we thank him and we acknowledge, oh Lord, you are involved in my life. You are ministering to others around me. Pray evangelistically. Pray for the lost that they will be saved. Pray for those that share the gospel. Listen, pray for preachers. We need your prayer. You don't like the message? You hadn't been praying enough. You know? Pray that God will speak through us and that the word will go out. But pray that God will speak through all of us and the word will go out. And that people will come to know Jesus as their Savior and their lives will change. God will open a door in verse 3 in Revelations 3:8. See, I have set before you an open door and no one can shut it. Pray that God will open a door to the people that know Jesus. Pray that he'll open a door to their stubbornness and they will be willing to listen to the gospel. Pray that God will open a door and we will be faithful to step through that door and tell people about Jesus. You know, I think God has opened more doors than we have been faithful to go through. Maybe it's time today for you to start looking for the open doors. You know, we're big on reaching children and youth. We should be. I want every student in our region to come to know Jesus as their Savior. I want a good portion of them to be here. I want to reach those young people. I not only want to reach young people, I want to reach their families. I want to reach children. I think we've got to reach them young. This world is trying to reach them young. Why shouldn't we? We need to get them in Sunday school. We need to get them in Awanas. We need to get them involved in Vacation Bible School, and we need to get them the gospel. Pray with me that we will reach young families. I am committed to reach young families for Jesus. That's mom and dad and kids. We need to reach them for Jesus. And we need to be constant in praying for them. That God would open a door and we would see them come. Be constant in prayer. Then be cautious in passage in verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward those that are without, redeeming the time. Now, this moves us from the hidden nature of witnessing. That's the praying. We don't do that so much in public. We do that more in private or among other believers. But when it's talking about walking, it's talking about your daily lifestyle. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, Jesus said. He knew we would be going. We're always going. As we go, be careful how you go. Be careful of your walk. Don't do anything, don't say anything that would limit your possibility of sharing Jesus. Listen, you go out to eat, you have a server that comes, and you're nasty to them, and you treat them like dirt. It's not going to help you to put a gospel tract when you leave. Listen, we need to treat everybody like they're somebody, and everybody is somebody because Jesus died for them. And we need to treat people that way. By the way, remember that when you leave a tip. Don't be cheap on your tip and expect that person to follow you to Jesus. You know, be cautious in how you walk and how you carry yourself through the day. Proverbs 6:13 says, they speak with their feet. You know, how you walk, how you live your day, how you live your life around people on a day-by-day basis gives your testimony. Give a testimony that speaks of Jesus. You've probably heard this little poem. You are writing a gospel, a chapter each day by the things that you do, by the things that you say. Men read what you write, whether faithless or true. Just what is the gospel according to you? Be careful of your witness. Careful how you walk before the lost. If you have messed up before a lost person and you know God wants you to witness to them, be honest with them. But just start out saying, listen, I know I haven't been the Christian I should be before you, but that doesn't change the fact that God loves you and God reached out to save my heart, and I want him to do that in your life. Be honest. Don't pretend to be something you're not. Redeem the time. Snatch it up. Buy it up. Time passes quick. I'm telling you, you don't know how fast it flies until you get into the upper echelon and that clock is just spinning. Christmas just seems to come every other week. And things are just very fast. Buy up the time. Your time is moving fast. Some of you are seniors, and you're a senior, and you're wondering where the high school went. You know, junior high doesn't seem that far away, or middle school doesn't seem that far away. It went by so fast. It will only get faster. Don't waste time. That's time you could represent Jesus. I've told you about my friend Howard Borland. Howard Borland, one of the greatest witnesses for Jesus I have ever known. He was an accountant. This accountant taught a Bible study at the University of Alabama. Roll Tide. Had to get that in. Every week he would drive from Birmingham, and he would come and he would teach that Bible study. This man was so faithful. He was just a regular guy. He didn't represent a group. He just came because God wanted him to teach a Bible study. On the University of Alabama campus, which I have to say was not the spiritual tower of the day, we had over 500 students meeting every week to hear Howard Borland teach the Bible. Howard had a southern drawl that was really southern, and he met every opportunity and seized it for Jesus. He would turn any conversation into a witnessing opportunity. Howard would say, went to the gas station the other day. I needed gas. I was pumping the gas. The guy on the other side was pumping gas. And an ambulance went by. I said, well, there goes another one. He looked at me kind of strange. I said, I wonder what would happen if you had gotten hit by a car and that ambulance had you in it and you died. Do you know if you'd go to heaven or not? He didn't. He does now. I walked out of my business the other day and a fellow was sweeping the streets, sweeping in the gutter. And I said, sir, find any dead bodies in that gutter? I wonder if somebody was sweeping and they found that you died and you were in that gutter. Do you know where you would spend eternity? He didn't. Does now. And my all-time favorite, I went to the grocery store the other day and this little lady was checking out. She was a checker. And she did my groceries. And I said, little lady, I see you stock Uncle Ben's converted rice. Are you converted? She is now. What a great man Howard Borland was, and what a testimony he left. But the thing I learned from him is he bought up the time. He didn't waste the opportunities. Hey, share Jesus. What are they going to tell you? No. I got a secret for you. It's not the only time you'll hear no. We're to be careful of our passage, and then we're to be consistent in our patter. Now, by patter, I mean our speech. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. There should be grace in how you speak to others. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts. Get God's word into your life so that so that you've got something in you that you can share. Don't worry about having all the answers. You won't have all the answers. But if somebody asks you, be ready. That is, do what you can do to be ready. Be in God's house. You know, here we teach the whole counsel of God. In Sunday school, we're teaching the Word. In worship, we're teaching the Word. On Wednesday nights, we're teaching the Word. In the Wave, we're teaching the Word. In Awanas, we're teaching the Word. Everything we do is about getting the Word in you. And so there's a lot of Word you can get so that you can be helpful with the answers. And if you don't know the answer, tell them, I don't know that. But I do know Jesus, and let me tell you about Him. Answer with grace. We are to give a witness, and we're supposed to do so with grace. There should be something in you that draws you to want to have that same something in somebody else, so that you want people to know Jesus and how you carry yourself and the words that you speak. Ephesians 4 says, let no corrupt word pass out of your mouth. Can I tell you, we need to clean up how we speak? I've talked to many people that have come to Jesus, and they've come to Jesus, but their language has not. And they've learned a way to speak, and our world speaks very corruptly, very vilely. And so if words slip out of your mouth, and they can slip out of anybody's mouth, you know, catch it real quick. Apologize if you need to others. And ask God to help you with that, so that nothing you say or nothing comes out of your mouth will turn somebody off to the chance that they would come to Jesus. Season with salt. That means put Jesus in your speech. Be winsome. Talk to people about what they're interested in. Winsome. You know, everybody's got that heart thing. Find it. It's not hard. If they're a guy in the South, hunting or sports will pretty much get it. If they're a little bit older, ask to see the pictures of their grandkids. In about 50 minutes, you'll be able to share the gospel with them. You know, everybody's got something that they have interest in. Find it. Get on that level with them that you're talking about their thing, and then tell them about your thing. Tell them about Jesus Christ. We have a witness to give, but it doesn't mean anything unless we give the witness. And so today, if you know Jesus as your Savior, would you make a determination that you're going to be willing to give the witness? Hey, bring them to us. We'll share with them. Tell us where they are. We'll go find them. But if God puts you in their way, you're the one that's supposed to share. And if you will share Jesus, it doesn't matter whether they say no or yes. We want them to say yes. But you've done your job when you share. And God will take care of it from that point. Believer, would you be willing to come to the altar and just commit yourself that I'm going to seek to share Jesus? I want to be faithful sharing Jesus. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, we ask you to come and just say, I want Jesus. And we'll pray together. He'll come into your heart. He'll save your soul today. God calls you to a decision. I pray that you'll make it. Let's stand for prayer. Father, I thank you for this time. I pray, God, that you would bless this moment. There are individuals in this room that don't know Jesus, Father, and today more than anything, they need to know you. Let them come to Jesus. And Father, I pray for believers. Father, we know you. We need to be faithful to share you. Let this be a day of commitment, Father, that will result in souls coming to Jesus. And Father, that will result in us being faithful. Move within our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You come as we sing.